The following show is dedicated to Mia Park and Barbara Yang. The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Well, good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. I want to apologize off the bat because my voice is going to start cracking and crinkling. I've had kind of laryngitis for 3 weeks now. So I'd like to get into the show. We've got two Saratoga All-Stars here today. One of them is young lady Kristen Gunning, who is president of Rise Beyond Control Incorporated, a former student at Saratoga Springs School District. And my second guest is Sarah Berger, who has three titles here this morning. One is that she's a good friend of mine and someone who is kind of like a counselor because she listens to everything I say when I talk to her about problems. She's a local attorney. And she's also a county supervisor, was recently elected in November, representing Saratoga Springs. So her plate is full, and I'm glad she's here with us this morning. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Rick.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. First off the bat, I'd like you two to introduce yourself. And Sarah, I'm going to let you go first because you got a hammer over there to throw at me if I don't.
The gavel. Brought my gavel. No, first, thanks so much, Rick, for having us on the show this morning. It's been a while. I used to come onto your show frequently, and then
Well, you'll be on more now that you're supervisor, because I used to have Matt on maybe 4 or 5 times a year or so, letting us know what's going on.
Well, if you had Matt on 4 or 5 times a year, I want to be on at least 10 or 12 times a year. No, thanks. But, you know, all kidding aside, thanks so much. You gave a nice introduction. Yes, I'm Sarah Berger. I'm a local attorney and a native Saratogian as well. I'm also an alumni of Saratoga High School, as well as Ms. Gunning. Local attorney. My office is on Broadway. I also practice in Massachusetts. Actually, I think when I was formerly a co-host, I was just beginning to practice in Massachusetts at that time and was leaving after the show and driving back to Boston.
You were?
No, I was.
Oh, you were?
Back
then. Back and forth. You were.
I'm not doing that.
Couldn't keep up with
you. No. And I just took office recently as supervisor on January 1st. We had our first county board meeting Tuesday, and my first sitting in the city council meeting that evening. Supervisor Phil Barrett from Clifton Park was reelected as chair of the County Board of Supervisors. And that's really all I have to report because we haven't received our committee assignments quite yet.
I was going to ask if you got them yesterday.
No, we didn't, but that's okay. Yeah. I'm sure we will soon. I get the feeling that some people know what they are, which is interesting, but they haven't been announced to everyone. But hopefully we'll hear soon, and I look forward to working with everyone at the county board.
Sure. Excellent. Kristen, how about yourself?
Hi, I'm Kristen Gunning, and I, too, grew up in Saratoga. I'm an alumni of Saratoga High School, and I also ran for the track and cross-country program. And currently, I am president of Rise Beyond Control Incorporated, which is a not-for-profit. And our mission is basically to bring awareness and educate people and have advocacy for athletes that are abused in school sports, and which ties back to my story of being a member on the track and cross country teams from 87 to 89 under the Kranix regime.
You know, we were talking before the show about school sports, whether it be high school, which I think it happens the most in high school, People look at high school sports and, you know, all the accolades that the different teams get, but they really don't know the background of, and not all coaches are bad.
Right.
But they don't realize what goes on behind the scenes and the potential danger that could be caused to the athletes by the methods of coaches. There were two good articles in local newspapers recently, the Times Union and the Gazette. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your quotes in there? Because, you know, you talked about the program and now what's happened to the program.
Yes, sure. So USA Track and Field, which is the highest governing body for running in the country from youth sports all the way up to Olympic sports and professional sports, they handed down a decision that banned the Kranichs for life from coaching for physical and emotional misconduct to the athletes. And my quote reflects that this is the first time in 40 years that somebody believed us and then held them accountable. And it took 40 years of multiple families, girls, women coming forward and no one believing us, in fact, silencing us, and then administration supporting and allowing the abuse of the Kranichs, all in the name of winning.
Yeah, well, that I remember seeing, you know, the runners running all over the place, you know, up West Ave and the side streets there, and you know, all the accolades that the program received as a layperson not involved in anything to do with the school district, I always thought, my gosh, what a great program they have. And you don't see what's going on behind the scenes.
Right.
Especially, I mean, 40 years is a long time to be winning. And it's like you say, boy, I'm so proud of Saratoga Track because it's, you know, and you don't really see that. And I think before the show we were talking about how people don't like to bring up, especially students don't like to bring up the bad things because they're, I think they're afraid of retaliation with other students or adults. And so they kind of keep things quiet. They know they're going to graduate and get away from the situation. But how did you feel as a student interacting with other students about what was going on?
Yeah, that's a great question, and people ask that all the time. If it was so bad, why did you stay? It's a voluntary sport. You could have left. And again, when you as a community member drive around and you read the newspaper and you say, wow, this is a great program, all this winning, but nobody asks how are they winning so much, right? And so that is the part when you're in this, and the tactics that the Kranichs used is you need to look at it from this lens of a power dynamic, right? So right off the bat, they're the adult, they are the authority. Children are programmed to obey authority and listen and comply, especially girls. And so what they require as coaches is absolutely full control and compliance, all right? And there's no saying no. Because if you do, you will be punished. And any yes that you have is only based on their rules and regulations. And so there is this, also they hold the power of if you want to go to D1 sports, if you want to be a professional athlete, you have to go through a high school program. So the amount of power that they hold as the high school coach is immense. And that's your only option. And so as they start using these tactics of dominating you, to control you, to obey, right? And these would look like threats, humiliation in front of other players or runners if you are not obeying or if you don't perform to their expectations, intimidation, punishment, like you would be ignored, you would have to run extra. There's so many stories of just having won championships, and if one person on that team did not perform to their highest expectation, you would be punished. and the rest of the team would be punished. I have a story where I was a member of the mile relay team at the state meet back in 1988, and we won, and our leadoff leg ran a little bit slower than she normally ran. Mm-hmm. So she goes first, she's done, and now we're a little bit behind, but we're running against city schools who are notorious for being extremely, like, top in the nation.
Sure.
And so they are screaming and yelling at her as we're still running this race, and we end up winning, and they're still yelling and screaming at her, and she's crying.
Yeah.
So it's this punishment of they make up the rules, and if you don't follow them, right, mm-hmm. these are the tactics that they use. Manipulation, they isolate you. They make themselves the knower of all.
Yeah.
They have all the information. They have all the knowledge. And they invalidate any other adult in your life or friends so that you're just looking to them. And then they control your time. Well, you can't be with friends. You can't go out. You can't go to prom. You can't talk to other people at meets. You can't talk to your parents. Doctors don't know what they're talking about. Mental health professionals, they don't know what it takes to run. And so, but this is repeated every day, all day long. So this becomes part of the programming.
Sure.
And then when you see how others are punished for not obeying, you then just subconsciously fall in line. And yeah. But what those moments where you don't, it's dangerous.
Yeah, that's and one of the dangerous things that I read that I just couldn't believe was you had a rope put around you.
Yeah.
That's what happened there.
So how insidious this programming does to your brain and body, right? So Mr. Kranick wanted, I was the top sprinter on the team in section two. And so he wanted me to be able to increase my turnover and speed. So he's got a rope, tied me to the back of the truck. Now, the crazy thing is the first thing you think, oh my God, he chose me. I'm chosen. But then I'm tied behind the truck. And I was like, wait a minute. And I said this to him, if I start to fall, I can't let go. I'm tied. And he's like, well, just yell. So I'm scared because I was like, but I'm not going to say no.
No, because how long after you yell is he going to stop?
Well, the thing is, he had a stick shift. So the RPMs were revving and I'm screaming to stop because I'm now grabbing onto the rope just for stability and leaning back. And he can't hear me yell, stop, stop, stop. And finally he did. And then that was just it.
Sure.
And I didn't realize that, I mean, it was in the school parking lot, but I didn't realize that people witnessed it. And that was corroborated during the investigation. But I never even told my parents till 2 years ago, because I knew if I told my mother, who was a nurse and was already concerned about the dietary restrictions that they were placing on us, and she had gone to them in administration, I was like, she's going to make me quit. And this was my whole identity, my whole life. And right. I needed to get that D1 scholarship.
You know? Really? It's almost like they reprogrammed you to focus only on track.
And winning for them.
Right. And winning for them. And some of the awards that they ran or they won was... They led runners to the Nike Cross National titles in 2019 and 2022. Their cross-country teams combined to win more than 20 state championships and nearly 30 titles at the state federations meet. Now, you look at that and you say they coached for 40 years, and that's an awesome amount of awards that they won. And then you look at it after you read the articles and start hearing stories from the kids, and you're always a kid because we're talking about high school.
Right, right.
Of what you had to go through to win all that, because normal teams, even good teams, don't win all these awards.
Especially at the high school level.
Yeah. Some of the big schools, I know, will import students in to their high school so they can win championships. I remember Sam Perkins was brought in from New York, I think, to go to Shen. You know, here's a 7-foot kid, great in basketball, so that he could get a good scholarship and go on to the college and pros. So it's just, I don't know, Sarah and I were talking, and when you first came in, that so all kinds of high school, college sports is getting so skewed to win at no cost instead of having the kids just have fun and do the best they can be.
Right. To support a kid or a child in high school and middle school to grow and reach their potential as part of a team, right? So each individual is valued for their contribution.
Sure.
In the Kranich's climate and training regimen and their team, it was you were exploited and used for what they could get out of you so that they could get this validation for winning and how superior they are and all the accolades. So basically, these children were serving their selfish needs for recognition and validation. Because if they cared about kids, at some point over 40 years, and people spoke up and parents came forward and there were lawsuits even, you know, started, and people spoke to the school board. At some point, if they really truly cared about the kids, they would have received this feedback and said, oh, my God, what can I change so that there's not this perception, or I didn't intend that, or let's change this so everybody's healthy, nobody's running with broken bones, nobody has the eating disorder, nobody has to get their menstruation medically induced by the time they leave high school, bone issues, relationship issues. Not once did they accept feedback. In fact, they doubled down, they denied, then they attacked the victims, and then they claimed they were the victim.
Yeah.
And so people in a position of power can never be the victim, especially when it's an adult and a child.
Sure.
So to look at this all the time through a lens of power differential, it is the adult and the child. So people can, like even Patton said, the superintendent, well, kids have a choice to train this hard or not. No, they don't, especially under the Kranichs. Your choice is removed, because if you say no, you're punished. Or you're kicked off the team.
Yeah.
And this is your only path to college, which they make important, this D1 scholarship, right?
Right.
And the only yes that you have, again, is based on their arbitrary abusive rules. So you don't have a yes and a no. That takes away consent. And then they silence you if you do have a differing opinion or a suggestion. So you lose your choice and you lose your voice. And that's abuse.
Yeah. When I went to high school, I mean, this was a long time ago. When you played high school sports, you wanted to do the best you could, and you wanted to win at all costs. However, if you lost, it was harder on the athlete because, I mean, you didn't think about it for months and months, but, you know, you said, boy, we should have won that game, you know, and we'll do better the next time. You didn't have a coach pound on you, you know. If you don't win, you're off the team or whatever. It was just, we had fun, and you wanted to win. I mean, that's the thing. And I don't know. I want Sarah to come in on this a little bit here about what your view of what's going on, and just things about what you see and. In high school, like you said, you went to Saratoga High School not too long ago, probably like 7-8 years ago. And, you know, let us know what your take on this is.
Well, I mean, as a student, my sister went to Saratoga as well. I remember knowing that something was wrong about what was going on with my friends. It's like you have a gut feeling. And you weren't sure what, but you knew you didn't like it. And I stayed away from it. My perception. It was just like, you know, but we knew, you know, the other classmates of mine, we knew there were problems with, you know, didn't seem right to me. I mean, I had a very different experience as a student athlete at Saratoga. I had a positive experience with my coaches, and I did very well in the sports that I participated in. I ultimately decided not to pursue or follow through on scholarship opportunities for college because I didn't need it. I was very fortunate that I did well academically and received a full paid scholarship to college based on academics and a couple other scholarships that I applied for. And I didn't need to compete at the D1 level in order to pay for my college education. And I think that a lot of this is today motivated. Well, and even going back to when Ms. Gunning was in school, by the cost and expense of paying for college, you know, and the pressure that's put on families, you know, the parents want, of course, to be able to pay for their kids to go to school, you know, and so I feel like that's kind of our entire education system and how we perceive it is part of the problem, part of the systemic problem that allows this type of abuse to foster and continue. Mm-hmm. As an attorney today, and over the last 16 years or so, I have met with numerous families that were interested potentially in pursuing their legal rights or coming up with, where they had a student or a child, let's say, that then as an adult was suffering based upon traumas that they sustained as a student and wanted to try to do something about it because their student got to college and didn't perform well, lost their scholarship, and was suffering with respect to their relationships with others, et cetera. And really, you know, every time with the exception of one that I can think of, I unfortunately had to advise these parents or students or former students that they really had no recourse because the law doesn't allow it. There are numerous landmines, I'll call them, in the education law in particular, and that the number one issue are the short time frames that you have to bring a claim. And when you're dealing with abuse of minors, I mean, really, we need to change the law in that regard, because when you have 3 months to tell the district that you for what's called a notice of claim requirement.
3 months.
So you don't have 3 months to sue, but you have to give this notice of claim. And if you don't, that can bar you from bringing a future claim. This New York State executive law, the human rights law, has a 3-year statute of limitations to sue in a court of law. But that's for discrimination based on a protected category. The types of abuse that Ms. Gunning is talking about with us may not fit into those categories. So then what are you left with? You know, we have the Child Victims Act, which was enacted and passed into law more recent years. But again, that's for sex abuse, and that's not necessarily what we're talking about here either. So that doesn't fit. So each way you turn and you look at different areas of the law, there's no good answer. We're failing in New York State when it comes to protecting kids. We're not. There is no accountability and no recourse available. So I think this might be a good segue to ask Ms. Gunning to explain what her thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I will. But, you know, I just wanted to make a comment that, you know, what Kristen said before, and I'm not an attorney or any, you know, I mean, I have a hard enough time trying to figure out what the track team went through, but you couldn't count that as sex abuse because of what they did to more so a female's body than a male's body. Not that it didn't hurt the boys, but, I mean, you had mentioned about what physically it did to some of the girls. You couldn't count that as sex abuse?
Potential. Every case is different. And not every student or former student that I met with maybe had those issues,
right.
Or maybe not
yeah.
at all. I can't
right.
remember. So, I mean, while that existed, they may not be the people that came forward, and it may not really. Every set of facts is different.
Well, I know, but I just kind of wanted to see if that could fit inside of a box as one potential thing. Even if there were like 600 runners, female runners, and only 50 of them had that problem, I mean, would, you know, if that was an avenue that could be pursued for those 50, you know, I mean, yeah, I would look at it to say I look at every angle that you could, but I know, like you said, there's restrictions on what you can and can't do.
Yeah, I mean, look, and as an attorney, I can't go out in New York State and solicit clients. So you have to have the people come forward. And I mean, really, you that's trying to find a perfect set of facts to bring a claim to hold a district accountable is not how you do it. You need to be able to protect all children and make sure that no children is being abused, and not that the abuse must look a certain way in order to bring a claim. That's not what we should be doing in New York State.
Right.
So I'm going to ask Kristen to come over and talk to us a little bit about her thoughts about the new organization. Kristen, can you tell us?
Hold on 1 second. I just want to let you know that you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM radio, and that's Skidmore Radio. If you have a question for Sarah or Kristen, give us a call at 518-580-5783. That's 580-5783. And you can call and ask a question, or if you have an opinion, please give us a call. So, Kristen, why don't you tell us what Sarah was bringing you into here?
Yeah, so because of a concerned community member, as they're referred to in different articles in the investigation, this person helped kind of support women a couple of years ago coming forward with their stories to change the culture and operations at Saratoga High School to end this abuse. And as a result, and through Sarah's support, he connected us with Sarah back in the summer. So two other amazing women and survivors of the Kranix abuse and elite runners also, Laura Kearns and Aaron Carl Rice, we co-founded this organization, Rise Beyond Control. So our mission, and this is where we started out in the beginning, it wasn't about suing, it's changing the culture, the sports culture in schools and hopefully nationally, by bringing awareness to this coercive control abuse, because that's what it is. It's not a misconduct, it's abuse. And it is to bring awareness of this abuse to athletes, to empower them to be able to make decisions, right? And doing this through education to schools, parents, children, and through advocacy, hopefully to influence school policy, New York State law, national law. And like Sarah said, the law in New York State does not provide that safety for children. There's no accountability for adults that don't take the suggestion to be healthy leaders toward children. That's insane. And that's why this has been allowed. So our hope, Laura, Aaron, and I, along with Sarah, we are hoping to really create change. And it starts with the belief and changing that belief that winning at all costs, achievement is the pinnacle. When it's not, it's not. It's harmful when that is the only focus. Because then people in this culture, it's not like the Kranix invented this strong, you know, intense coaching. There was already this culture of winning at all costs. So they just took it to a whole other level and they packaged it in, we know best, we care about you, we are winners, and if you want this D1 scholarship, then we are your ticket to that. And when this is your only path, you're stuck.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so to be able to influence the way that we look at things and then have the law catch up to those beliefs so that this doesn't happen for another 40 years to thousands of children.
You know, it's kind of sad that in situations like this, or even lesser situations where mainly kids are abused for sports or even student things, that you have to form advocacy groups to make people aware of what's going on.
And to ask them to be nice.
Right. I just find it sad that, you know, you have to form these groups that you just can't come out with what went on and have people say, oh my gosh, that's terrible. You know, it's a great way to get your point across by visiting different organizations or whatever to talk about it.
You know, and then you bring up a great point of advocacy because, ironically, my profession, I'm a special ed teacher for over 20 years, and I work with non-speaking students with autism.
Okay.
And so the advocacy that has to go in to fighting for equal and quality education for this population, where most people believe they're not capable, is exhausting for parents and for teachers that care. And so instead of people just doing what is legal, ethical, kind, moral, we do, that's obviously a suggestion.
Yeah, and you get frustrated a lot. My wife was a special ed teacher for 33 years. Mm. So I know what she had to do with the adults that were on a committee to see what the kids were doing and the reports you had to write. Just to get things done. And a lot of times it didn't happen. You know, it was, you were advocating for the student and, you know, it's right. Just there or not, you know.
And you're advocating for the bare minimum and what's legal. And to have adults literally coming against that or sabotaging a child, it is bizarre. And the same thing happened with the Kranichs. And they're coaching, and this harmed the children, who now, after being brought together with other survivors, and think about this, we did not speak up or speak to each other. No one did until recently, right? And so to come together, and why were we silent for 40 years? Why are people coming even forward in this, you know, 70-page document report that Marty Greenberg put together as anonymous? It's because that is how intensely scary the programming was and unsafe you felt if you spoke out against them.
Yeah.
And so even after 40 years, women were still coming forward in their 40s and 50s, but anonymous. And so, you know, for Aaron and Laura and I, people say, oh, well, you're so courageous. I mean, courageous. But ironically, I think we're the few that actually feel safe.
Yeah.
It's about safety.
It's about safety and what other students' perception. Well, I didn't want to do that. Or some of them just didn't want to relive what they went through and didn't want to get into it. And I was going to ask you, are you in touch with other student athletes that maybe haven't come forward that you know to try and get them on board?
That's a great question. So a couple years ago, I did reach out to people from my cohort, and the resistance is understandable, but vehement. Absolutely not. One, I don't want to relive it, because what we're finding out, the lasting negative impact that it's had on these women's lives that you don't realize even when you leave, you know, part of it is you do fall apart after you leave because they dictate every move you make. You can't think for yourself. So you leave. And in my case, I left and I got to college and I couldn't function without them. And I fell apart. I ended up getting an eating disorder. I had to leave school twice until I got back on my feet. And again, track was my whole identity. I was a runner for the Kranichs. That was gone. Who am I? So discovering who I was outside of them was quite a rebuilding of myself. And so, which led me to being a special ed teacher. But this fear of them and women not coming forward, they still do not want their name or experience, because the attacks, and they are out to destroy you. Like, right. Linda is quoting in the paper, this is just a few people trying to tarnish their reputation with lies.
Well, do you think, too, that Yeah, and I'd like to get Sarah's take on this after, but I want you to answer it first. Do you think that coming forward and giving their names now may affect, they may think may affect their working career or different aspects of their life because they came forward and made a big deal with something that, because they don't know what happened either. Like if I employed you and you're coming out and I say, boy, she's making trouble, you know, because they don't know what went on. And do you think that is one reason why some of the girls aren't coming forward after so many years?
Yeah, they don't want to be attacked. And some of them, a lot of them still live in Saratoga and they have children in the school district. So that's a concern. They don't want their children being targeted.
Right.
And because the Kranichs just, they go after you to destroy your credibility, your whole person. So that's what they do. They deny and attack. And having been a member of the team, you know what that feels like. And I could absolutely, it's understandable and reasonable why people don't want to come forward.
Yeah, because like I said before, and I wasn't not involved in any of this or was aware, but you were reprogrammed and in such a way where you had to do what they said. So after, can you say anything bad about them? Because you were programmed not to, your whole school career, you know?
Well, and you made a great point. The whole foundation of why this works is through fear. That's how they operate, from fear. And it gets, the programming is so intense in your mind that even if you have a doubt or other people are questioning it, you put it out of your mind because you're trained to only think this way. And then your nervous system only finds safety in complying and obeying them. And not until you leave do you realize, oh, my God, this was time and space is what allows you to realize. Because once you fall apart when you leave and you start going, for me, I went to therapy. I was at Four Winds. And then they start asking about your childhood. And then, of course, track is
how'd your
most
mother
important
treat
thing.
You,
yeah, yeah. You know. And when you talk about the track experience, they're like, their jaw drops to the floor. And they say, this is abuse. And you're like, no, it's not. This is what you need to do to win. And they're like, no, this is child abuse. And so you start letting in a little bit of information because they're not in your ear. Think about it. You're supposed to be with them 365 days a year, 3 to 4 hours a day on average, for 4 to 6 years of your life. That's a lot of time to influence and program somebody.
Yeah. And I think once you're out of that, you've been reprogrammed to a certain way, and now you don't know what to do. They ran my life for however long, 3 or 4 years. And what do I do now? I don't have that person telling me what to do or pushing me to excel. It's so many facets to, and you know, you should be enjoying your high school years. I mean, you work all, I use COVID as an example when I talk to people about how the world has changed. Going to school for 12 years and not being able to have a graduation ceremony, walk across the stage to get your diploma, and that being taken away from you would be crushing. Because you go to school your whole, really your whole childhood life until you're 18, and you can't celebrate like everybody else did. And Sarah, come on in and tell us what your perception of advocating and how, I know you played sports but had good experience, and how that affected you in your life to go on, succeed, and without all this baggage that Kristen has had to put up with in these other girls.
My own personal experience?
Yeah, and your take on what they went through, what the kids went through. I mean, me, I would have the girls' team for, you know, to run faster, to have the boys' team chase them. I mean, that would be my take. But then again, I didn't run track, so
Well, I mean, it's, you know, as an attorney, my personal opinion doesn't matter, you know. And I, like I said earlier, I didn't have an experience and as a student experience like that. But as a student, we knew in our gut that there were issues with our classmates and what was going on. You know, we always knew. But I wanted to talk a bit about, you know, really what. You know, the district, Ms. Gunning alluded a couple times to an investigation, and our listeners may not know what we're talking about when we're talking about an investigation. So in recent years, and this was talked about a little bit, there have been a couple articles that the Times Union has published. Kathleen Moore was a reporter for the Times Union that she wrote an article around the holidays with respect to the Kranichs being permanently banned by USA Track and Field for systemic issues relating to both, and this came from directly from the USA Track and Field findings, what they said, you know, systemic issues with both emotional and physical misconduct over at least three decades. And that was something that they found in their investigations, which the district, when this was raised up recently to them, did their own investigation through using their own law firm, and even their own law firm concluded that the school district had not done enough to protect the students. And then even after that point, after the district is advised of that, and that report was done in March of 2024, that even after knowing that in March of 2024, the district hasn't done enough. This has been going on for decades. They rehired the Kranichs to coach.
You're kidding.
After the district report was done by their own lawyers telling them that. And that to me, that just blows my mind. I mean, I don't understand how they could do that. But, you know, back when Ms. Gunning was in school, there were even less legal protections, and I think today there are still very little. But in 2012, in New York State, we have a law called the Dignity for All Students Act, also called DASA for short, which has a stated purpose of fostering civility in public schools and to prevent and prohibit conduct which is inconsistent with a school's educational mission. And they fail in all respects at this district to properly utilize DASA. I mean, DASA does not contain, while it prohibits harassment and bullying in schools, and it has all these training and educational requirements for the district, and a mechanism for parents and students to complain internally to the district. It's in essence an internal policing mechanism that has no teeth. There's no way for a student or parent or person to bring a claim and say the district is violating DASA. They're not doing anything here. There's just no way to do that. It doesn't allow. The courts in New York State have held multiple times that there is no right to a private cause of action under DASA. So that's another, you know, roadblock, right? When I was talking earlier about parents coming in to see me, we go and look at the law again. We say, well, is this something we can do? What can we do? What can we not do? And again, this was another thing where we said, no, this is not an avenue to pursue. So new law, well-intentioned by the state legislature for sure. But since 2012, it's falling short. It really is, in my opinion, professional opinion, it's not worth the paper it's written on. Fortunately, we do have, you know, our elected assembly member, Carrie Warner, locally is working on amendments with her colleagues to amend DASA. You know, we've been in contact with her office to try to provide some feedback as well to that. And I think, you know, that's moving in a positive direction. There's certainly interest in making improvements, but we really need to go the distance with this. I think we need to have public hearings in Albany to talk about abuse in schools. This is not unique to just Saratoga Springs School District. There is an overall culture that exists systemically throughout New York State. There are other school districts that have these problems. We know that exists. I know Ms. Gunning has been having conversations and has been contacted by people in other school districts. So this is a bigger problem. This is not just about the Kranichs and about these examples. These examples here that Ms. Gunning and her fellow founding members of Rise Beyond Control are talking about are the issues that they experience and really were the impetus for beginning this organization. But really, in the bigger picture, is about addressing the culture in schools and trying to change it. And that's what I think we hope to accomplish, because DASA just falls short. You know, the law, there's too many roadblocks. It's just full of landmines, and it does not give people a path to accountability and recourse when the districts fail to protect children.
Well, you must see that, too, in a lot of different avenues of your law practice, that the avenues and blocks put up and areas are kind of like really crazy, that they don't provide a way for clients to pursue legal action against things.
Yeah, they can. I mean, in my career, we've been through this a few times. I mean, another example that comes to mind, New York State whistleblower law, where there was a bad decision by the Court of Appeals in the late 1980s that plagued us labor attorneys for 30 years or more, that was had to be changed through the legislature. Eventually, it got done. The New York State human rights law hadn't been amended in 30 years, and that got done in 2019. So sometimes you have to do it. You have to lobby. You have to talk to your elected representatives, talk about what the problems are, you know, what you're having, what you're seeing. But we still had, you know, while the human rights law was amended in 2019, it was still there and it was something we used. You know, in this instance, when we're talking about child abuse in schools, there's even less to work with to begin with, I think. And that is a problem. There is no way. If you go to the New York State Education Department website, they issue periodically guidance on harassment and bullying in schools and interpreting DASA and et cetera, different things that are raised up. There was there's a joint guidance on harassment and bullying at school board meetings, which was recently issued between the Attorney General's office and the Education Department. And so, they do things they put out there that, you know, how to interpret the law and what should be done. And if you look at the footnotes of some of these memos, I found that, you know, they reaffirm through these memos that there is no recourse. You know, they say parents can't go to the state education department and make a complaint. So if parents go to the school district, make a complaint, and nothing happens, then they're just left with nothing. And it's just like this circular issue of so you report. Okay, you report. But it's the school district then policing, investigating themselves with really no substantive oversight and no recourse. There's really no due process. There's no way to appeal it. There's no way to, there's nothing. It just ends there. It's just very circular in its nature. And that's reaffirmed. I mean, state ed basically admits that in these memos. It's like, oh, parents, there's no way under DASA for parents. So under DASA, which is supposed to help protect children from abuse and harassment in schools, there's no way for a parent to bring a complaint either in a court of law or to the state education department. However, if there's issues involving privacy, which is under section 2-A of the education law, for privacy concerns, they have a whole process where you can complain to state ed directly as a parent, but that doesn't exist for DASA. So it really doesn't make any sense.
No,
I mean, the districts have been policing themselves. The district here failed, admitted they didn't do enough. They've known about this stuff. I mean, Kristen was in school in the late 80s, right? Ms. Rice and Ms. Kearns were in school in the 90s. I mean, you go through decades of this, of different former athletes. I mean, these are not isolated incidents. This is a systemic problem that the district failed to address here. And these problems, like I said, they exist elsewhere. And really, at the heart of all this, and to cut to the chase, we need to do something in New York State. We need Albany's help. yeah. with this. We need Albany's help. Yeah.
And, you know, Christian schools should be a place where students feel comfortable academically, sports, or in whatever problems that they have. I mean, there's so many aspects of groups now that didn't exist when I was growing up, person-wise. And yet they're protected, even when parents complain that they don't like these programs. But when you get a situation like this, and the schools just don't listen, they don't care, because winning at all costs makes the school look good. And even the hierarchy of administration just kind of doesn't pay attention to it. You found that, and talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so what's important, again, is this power dynamic. There is a hierarchy of power, right? And so in a school district, it is the administration. And whoever is the superintendent, they are the leadership. They dictate the culture. They hold people accountable for the laws, the rules, the policies, while helping children and staff grow, right, to be the best school. And what's interesting, too, if you look on the Saratoga website, this goes to the power dynamic. In their mission, Saratoga mentions empowering students. Every single thing that Saratoga Springs School District and the Crannocks have done actually disempowered students to the point of being abuse. So, again, having been a special ed teacher and writing IEPs and giving data as evidence by, if you're empowering students in your mission, what is the evidence of that? And if the evidence is actually contrary, why aren't we changing things so that we're helping kids grow to their potential? Instead of being so achievement focused, in special ed, we are growth focused. And I think that's so beneficial, mm-hmm. because when it's growth focused and you get a team of people that have aligned goals and you take aligned action, that's when kids and people thrive. When there's this differential in power, when the power is used to control people for whoever's at the top for their self-serving needs, that puts people in a state of stress. And nobody thrives in a state of stress. So no one's reaching their potential.
No. But, you know, in one way, in a couple minutes, I want to end the show with, Sarah told us about your goals, but how can people help and put in contact out there? But one of the things I see just meeting you today and knowing what you do in the field you got into in helping the helpless, is that I think that made you stronger in what you're doing today in your field. You know, you could have regressed and not achieved what you have achieved because of that, but I think that really helped you become what you are today.
So ironically, and this makes me kind of emotional, these individual students who don't have a voice actually helped me find my voice. Sure. I didn't teach them. They taught me,
yeah.
and they showed me what's possible. And I think, that literally changed the trajectory of my life. I don't think it's a mistake. And I literally fell into my career. A neighbor suggested it when I was like, what am I going to do with a psychology degree? She's like, you love kids. Why don't you become a special ed teacher? And literally on the drop of a dime, I did. And that changed the whole trajectory of
sure.
my life. It ended up giving me a voice.
Yeah, because you can see that they're not advocated for enough, you know. So how can people help your group?
All right.
And I think, do you have a website?
Yeah, so we formally became an organization just about a month ago. So that's under construction, almost done. When it is up and running, it is risebeyondcontrol.org. Currently, the best way to contact us is K Gunning, so K-G-U-N-N-I-N-G, at risebeyondcontrol.org. We would love if people want to share their stories anonymously or, you know, to come forth if you feel safe enough. If you want to support our cause in any way, to reach out. Already people are starting to reach out after the decision to ban the Kranichs from coaching from USA Track and Field. So, yeah.
I'm sure you have legal bills.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure you have good people helping
yes.
you out.
So we're a not-for-profit. So, right. yes. So any kind of support, legal support, financial support.
Is there a phone number that people can get a hold of you, or is it just going to be the website?
Currently, it's the email and the website.
Okay.
And there will be a contact right. page
a
on
there.
A form
that they can
yes.
fill out to go to you. Yeah, that's probably better off than yeah. telling them yeah. where you live and
no, right.
where you are. So.
And, yeah, or myself. But it's exciting. Like, we're just getting off the ground, and
sure.
it simultaneously coincided with this decision. So, yeah. So.
Well, I can put a little public service announcement, and maybe Sarah can help out on that. You know,
all
maybe
right,
like
you.
A 15 or 30 second public service announcement that I can do every week about the group and what it does. And I just want to say the Kranichs of the high school were stripped of all their awards. Have they been taken away by track and the national?
I don't think any of their awards
oh,
or
no.
Hall of Fame
okay.
inductions are have been removed.
Have been removed?
No.
Okay, not yet anyway.
Not yet.
And it, you know, I just want to mention before we turn it over to Homer that Mr. Kranich passed away this past November. So, and that's unfortunate
yes,
that he
is.
Passed away, but that, you know, you lost the person in this whole deal here who was one of the, well, I'll call it abusers. I mean, I hope that doesn't get me in legal trouble. Sarah's kind of smiling and winking, but in any case, I want to thank you for being on today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it takes a lot for you to come forward and start an organization like this because it's a tough subject.
It
and
is.
So many people over 40 years were affected, and you know, some of them not in a great way. And
right.
So, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and okay. I just want to thank everybody that has supported. Not only me, but the other women and girls
yep.
through this ordeal, and hopefully more people feel safe coming forward
well,
so
I
we can create
so.
Big change.
I think the more you make it known and that you have some oomph behind you, that they will come forward, you know, hopefully. We'll pray for it. Hey, Sarah, thanks for being on today.
Thanks, Rick.
It's always good to see you, and appreciate it. So.